Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to come back here again in front of the camera, Lord, delivering a message to your children, sharing the word, dissecting the word together. Father God, I humble myself before you and I ask that your spirit alone reigns. The Holy Spirit, come in and take center stage. Speak what you desire to be spoken. I avail myself as an instrument for your use and I say, may Jesus alone be glorified in it all. Amen, amen, in Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. So I'm going to just delve straight into the story, the point, but I have a little bit of a thing to share with you so that you really understand that, well, what I want to say is not a judgment, but it is something that affects all of us, myself included. So when the Lord placed it on my heart to take my time away, to take some time away from being on social platforms on which I minister. So I'm not talking like social media, like social stuff, like my own Facebook or my own personal Instagram. That's easy. That I could get rid of, you know, for years if I had to. But the ministry socials, so God Undiluted, TikTok especially, where the following on there is 60,000 plus. I remember saying to myself, whoa, like if I take some time away, like 40 days where I'm not ministering on TikTok, what's going to happen to that ministry, Lord? You know, what will happen to the people? You know, see, I'm even laughing at myself because these are God's people. And I'm sure God was just like, really? You think that I didn't have these people before you started ministering just in the last 2 years? What did you think I was doing with these people, right? But what was so important is that the Lord revealed to me the importance of shutting everything away. So I was like, okay, God, I'm going to do it. So during the 40 days of praying and fasting, I was not on TikTok. I closed off my TikTok for that season, you know, closed off God Undiluted ministry page for that season. And wasn't posting here on YouTube. And it's been such a glorious season. And one of the things that happened afterwards that the Lord showed me after, because, you know, God is so amazing in that sometimes he wants us to, actually, maybe most times God wants us to obey even without explanation. Because you know how it is with kids when you say to them, I told you not to do something. Most kids nowadays will always say, but why? Why? I grew up in a country in an era in my primary school years where why was not a welcome question. You do as you're told. Simple, right? And it's only later on you realize the beauty of the obedience that you would have engaged in. And that's the same with friends, with God, my friends, where God will not always stand there and say to you, oh, you know, I want you to come off your socials because of this and this and this and this and this. At the initial offset, sometimes God's instructions, or most of the times God's instructions for all of us are just do this. Right? I want you to leave where you are to go where I'm sending you. That was God's message to Abraham, right? That's what God does, my friends, where obedience doesn't come because you understand the full story. Obedience doesn't come because God has given you the full teaching. Obedience must come just because God said so. All right. So I disconnected my social media, not because I really, you know, knew exactly why I needed to disconnect from ministry socials. Mind you, I say the ministry socials. So these are ministry, these are socials where I minister. Okay. I didn't see why I needed to disconnect from that during the fast, but I obeyed and I'm grateful that I obeyed, because only after I've obeyed, days later, actually weeks later, because the message that I'm sharing with you, this message, I didn't get it during the fast. This is a message that the Lord shared with me, you know, I would say, because we finished the fast one on the 1st of June and today is the 9th of June. I would say about 4 days ago. And the message is from Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to just go straight into it. One of the key things that the Lord placed on my heart is that he did not call content creators. I know it's so easy to say, you know, I'm a Christian content creator, but the reality of the matter is, my friends, God did not call us to create content. Because once you adopt the mindset that you are there to create content, you are in a very dangerous territory. And this message will explain. By the end of this, you will know exactly why. God didn't call content creators. God didn't call you to content create. God called you to minister. Very big difference. So let's take it to the scripture. The Bible says, like I said, in Matthew, right? Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read together from this. Yeah, let's read from verse 14. Actually, maybe 13 to give you a little bit of context. So the Bible says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Right? Let me read it properly again. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, Jesus said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Please underline the Christ. Yeah? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Please underline that. But my Father who is in heaven. Holy Spirit, help me to dissect this word. Friends, I want you to notice something. First of all, Christ is not Jesus' name. Christ is not Jesus' last name. His legal name was Jesus, right? The name that he was given upon inspiration of the angel of the Lord, right? When Mary was spoken to about a son, Jesus was the name that was given. The Christ, if you notice, the Bible says in verse 16, when Simon answered, he said, you are the Christ. He didn't say you're Christ. He said, you are the Christ. So the is very significant because the word Christ meant the anointed one or means the anointed one, the chosen one, the deliverer. The Jews knew that there was a Christ that was going to come. That was a promise that was there. Jesus's being, right, was prophesied way before he was even born, right? In the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of these books spoke to the coming Christ, the coming deliverer, the coming anointed one, the coming chosen one, right? So every Jew of the day of Jesus, right, knew this. And they were waiting for it. Even when Jesus was born, remember what Herod was like. He wanted to kill every firstborn son because he knew that a deliverer had come, right? Because they were all waiting for the Christ. Stick with me, right? They were waiting for the Christ. So now we have Jesus who's come. Jesus who's performing all these miracles. And Jesus is asking his disciples, what do people say this Son of Man is, right? What do people say I am? And then they started answering. And then Jesus changed the question and says, but who do you say I am? So Peter's response to say, you are the one we've been waiting for. When Peter said, you are the Christ, what he was basically saying is, you are the one we've been waiting for. You're the one who has been prophesied upon, right? Or about for generations. You are our deliverer. You are the deliverer. You are the chosen one. That's what Peter was saying. So that's the significance of what Peter said. So no wonder why Jesus then said, blessed are you, son, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Jesus was saying, flesh and blood, your own reasoning could not have delivered this message. Flesh and blood would not have been able to give you this insight that surely I am the chosen one. Surely I'm the deliverer. Surely I'm the one on which the saving of the world is dependent on. That's what Jesus was saying. That only the Father in heaven had revealed such a message to Peter. Now I want us to fast forward, my friends, to verse 21. So verse 21 says, of the same chapter, Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, the Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. I want you to understand what's happening, my friends. The Bible is saying to us, from that time that Simon Peter, right, had received a revelation from heaven that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus started to, the Bible says, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things. Jesus was now exposing to them that he was truly indeed the deliverer, and that the deliverance was going to come through death, through pain, through the cross. Right? But that he will be raised on the third day. But I want you to notice what happened in verse 22. Then Peter took him aside. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to dissect and help all of us to understand this word. My friends, three chapters difference. In verse 15, 16, Simon Peter is getting a fresh revelation from heaven that you are face to face with the Christ, with the deliverer, with the anointed one. Three verses later, the same Simon Peter, Jesus is saying to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." What happened? This Peter, who was a open to heaven, who was given a prophecy by heaven, a word of knowledge by heaven, that he was face to face with the Christ, is the same Peter. Jesus is saying, "You are mindful of the things of men and not the things of God. Get thee behind me, Satan." What happened? What happened? My friends, this paints an important picture of the importance of our speaking, our ministering, whether God has, especially if God has called you to speak his word or to serve in whatever capacity that involves your words. Because I propose to you, my friends, that when you see what's happened, it is so easy for someone to be spirit-led, for them to release word from heaven, fresh bread from heaven, and not long after, for the same mouth to release a word that is contrary to the bread of heaven. Holy Spirit, help me. Let me explain this to you, my friends, what I'm trying to explain. All right? I want you to imagine a scene of someone who loves God, who takes on the call to share the word of God, to live a life in Christ, right? And they find themselves at the feet of Jesus, like Peter. They were there. You find yourself as a student of Jesus. Where do students of Jesus frequent? Where is the school? The school is in your secret place. The school is on your face at the feet of Jesus. The school is in his presence. The school is in his dwelling place, in his secret place. And the access to his secret place is through your own secret place. You remember that story of Jacob? Jacob, when he was on his way back where he came from, after many years in exile, after running away, he rested at this place, which was, he didn't know that the place he was resting at was a place his, you know, forefathers, the Abrahams and the Moses, the people had prayed before. So he laid his head on a stone that was a secret place that had been created, right, by his forefathers. And what happened when he laid his head on that stone, my friends, is he started to see, it was like there was a gateway to heaven. That secret place here on earth connected with the secret place of heaven, right? The prayers, the dedication of Abraham and Moses. My friends, your secret place is the gateway to God's secret place. So when you don't have your own secret place, you don't have access to the secret place of the Father. Peter loved Jesus so much. Peter was constantly there. Peter was eager. So you can see that Peter was really a student. You cannot be a student of Jesus if you don't have a secret place. When I say secret place, I'm speaking about you spending time in the Word and in prayer behind closed doors when the cameras are off. When no one is watching, when no one is going to applaud you to say, what an amazing revelation. When it's just you and the Father, that is the secret place. And it is from that secret place that the Lord downloads the message of heaven that can only be known by someone who has been in God's secret place. So the message that Peter delivered that said, you are the Christ, was message that is evidence of someone who has been in the secret place and connected to God's secret place. However, Peter also shows us a warning of what happens when you come out of that secret place, right? How the enemy is so eager to get us to come away from the secret place. I don't know what was happening to Peter. I don't know what it was that meant that he wasn't connected, right? Because Jesus was teaching them. The Bible tells us that Jesus began to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer many things. Jesus began to show, that's what the Bible says in verse 21, which, you know, shows me that Jesus began teaching the school of Jesus, the deeper school of Jesus, the deeper ministry of his suffering, how he was going to be the Christ. He wasn't going to come with trumpets and celebration. It was going to come through the cross. It was going to come through suffering. Jesus began the class. I don't know where Peter's concentration was. I don't know what was happening with Peter. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But somewhere in this, Peter came out of the spiritual realm and went into the physical flesh realm. He was there. Jesus was beginning to teach the disciples what must come, how he was going to be the Christ that Peter had prophesied, how the deliverance was going to come, how it was going to happen. He began to show them. He began to show them. But somewhere along the line, Peter, despite being there, being shown, he didn't connect with what was being shown because he was in the flesh. How do I know he was in the flesh? Because Jesus tells us in verse 23, because the Bible says, the rebuke Jesus gave to Peter was, get thee behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So somewhere, somehow, Peter's voice had been hijacked by the enemy. Peter's voice had been hijacked. It wasn't that Peter was Satan. No, God knew what had put in Peter. But Peter's voice had been hijacked by the enemy, right? And so Peter began to speak the things of men and not the things of God like he had before. So I'm here to share with you, my friends, and propose to you this, that if you are someone like Peter, who the Lord had been using to deliver the fresh manna, the fresh bread of heaven, because you have a secret place, you are at risk of Satan wanting to contaminate your voice because you are credible to the people. Do you understand? You may have started innocently, speaking innocently, things that are coming from your secret place. Because we're supposed to feed people from the excess of your well that comes as the Lord fills you. And then people drink from the excess. You're not supposed to seek God to cause other people to drink. You're not supposed to seek God to feed others. Others are supposed to feed through your own stuff that you have been fed through your intimacy with the Lord. I hope this is making sense. There's nothing wrong with studying to share. But once that becomes your focus, that you studied the Word to share with others, like Peter, you're now at risk of the bread you offer being contaminated because the motives are now wrong. If you do not feed because you need feeding, you are at risk. You cannot create content. If you yourself, actually, we shouldn't create content at all. We shouldn't. We shouldn't have gospel Christian weird content creators. We shouldn't be sat there thinking, what content am I going to produce this week? There's nothing wrong with being strategic and saying, what am I going to minister this week from my own well? From what I have been fed, from what has been revealed to me from my secret place, you know, into God's secret place. And then from God's secret place into my secret place. That's what the relationship is supposed to be like, my friends. From your secret place to God's secret place, right? And then from God's secret place. So you, from your own secret place, you access God's secret place. Because you seek Him. You hunger and thirst for Him. You hunger and thirst for righteousness. God will open up His secret place to you. Because listen, not everyone accesses God's secret place. God shares His secrets with those that fear Him. The Bible says that. It doesn't say with those that love Him. It says the Lord shares His secrets with those that fear Him. Which means those that have holy reverence. Which means that those that are not seeking the glory of man. Which means that those that are purified by God. Right? So when you have your own, it is at your own secret place that the Holy Spirit prunes you, changes you, purifies you, exposes sin, changes your character. And from that, it opens you up to the secret place of the Lord. And you have audience with the Lord. And only in that place, right, that the Lord then gives you His secrets, the secrets of His word, the secrets that are hidden in plain sight, right? Then you, in your own secret place, right, you feed off of that word. And as the Lord commissions you, you then minister that word to others. Can you see that? That is the process. And if God has not spoken, don't speak. May God help us that if God has not spoken, we don't speak. But if you fall into the trap of creating content, you will feel this pressure that there has to be something, right, on your channel that you're speaking on, even if God has not spoke. And that's dangerous. And the enemy is waiting for such a people, especially those that have started right. Because if someone starts wrong and we already know that they're a false prophet or they're a false teacher, people already know that and people don't care about that, right? The enemy doesn't care about that. He's happy. He knows you're one of his. But if you started right, you were a target. Because you starting right drew people to God's undiluted, purified messages, right? Drew people. Because now you have an audience. Through that, the enemy wants you on his team. The enemy wants me on his team. So I'm so thankful that during this fast, the Lord helped me to obey and not minister, right? Out of fear of, oh, but what's going to happen to the people, Lord? What's going to happen to the algorithm? What's going to happen to the numbers? What's going to happen when I come back? Will people still come? I've recently started sharing again in the last few days, and the engagement is not like before. But it doesn't matter anymore, because the Lord had prepared me for such a time as this. During the secret place, the Lord helped me to recognize, right? And to have a stronger resolve that whether one person or two people listen, there will not be leavened bread that will flow from my voice to the people of God. Because the punishment, my friends, for people who send people astray, the Bible tells us, I'm studying Matthew at the moment, and Jesus says, who is the one who will cause these little children of mine to stumble? Who is that person? Pity, you know, may we fear speaking words, speaking a message that is leavened, that will lead people to be puffed up, to be motivated and sent to hell. It's like we're fattening up, not we, like, I rebuke that, that's not for me, but it's like, you know, some preachers are fattening up people to be stocky, to be fleshy enough for hell, because the messages are leavened bread. Let me explain what I mean by leavened bread. The Bible says in the same chapter, Matthew chapter 16, right? From verse 8, Jesus said to the disciples, basically Jesus had said to them, you know, about bread. They had forgotten bread. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. And Jesus used this as a teaching opportunity. So the Bible says, but because they were reasoning between themselves, saying, you know, Jesus is speaking like this because, you know, we've forgotten bread. Because Jesus had said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples were having a chat between them saying, oh, you know, is it because we've forgotten the bread? Like, what is he on about, right? And then the Bible says, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, ye of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you've brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Jesus was basically saying, do you really think it's about the bread? Do you honestly think that if it was about the bread, I couldn't have performed a miracle again pertaining to bread? Have you forgotten the 5 loaves that I turned, the 7 loaves that I turned, right, into gazillions of bread feeding the 40,000? Have you forgotten that twice, one with 5 loaves, one with 7 loaves, I fed thousands? Have you forgotten that? Verse 11. How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, physical bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Basically, the scripture is saying this, my friend, that Jesus was using this as a teaching opportunity to say to them, when you think about bread, one of the things we during this 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, the Lord pressed it on my heart to not be breaking a fast, you know, like to be like absolute fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then breaking the fast and then, you know, eating. Because our prayer time with the ladies that joined me on this journey was from 12 midnight to 2 a.m. And the Lord was saying to me, Christina, I want to deal with things that go only with prayer and fasting. So you're going to fast throughout, from day one to day 40. So together, you know, with the Lord, I started to research on what a fast that I can do consistently would look like. So that's how I engaged on a fasting that is, you know, likened to a Daniel fast, in the sense that no yeast. So I couldn't eat any bread. I couldn't eat anything that had yeast in it, down to, you know, things like, you know, like stock cubes, anything that had yeast, I didn't eat. Anything that had sugar, I did have honey though. Anything that had sugar, anything that was processed, anything that was pure white from processing. So basically, I ate only fruit and vegetables and drank water. I would make meals with potatoes and sweet potatoes, spinach, you know, all these different things. And so I laughed with myself because sometimes the food was not tasty at all, right? Sometimes the food would look good and colorful, but I'm like, oh, this is not great. But I'll be honest with you, my skin has benefited tremendously from this diet, right? During this fast, from this fast, right? In my body. And I have a point. Stick with me. I want to explain the point. Bread has yeast in it. So Jesus is talking about bread, right? But using it as a teaching moment. Unleavened bread, bread without yeast, is not very nice. It's not as nice to the flesh as bread with yeast. The same way as during my fast, the food that I was having is not very nice. Not having spices, curries, not having any of that, just having pure vegetables and water, no milk, no tea. It wasn't very nice, right? The flesh didn't like that very much. Yet the result, and I'm talking flesh, I'm not even talking spirit yet, the flesh benefits are tremendous, right? Just 1 week back drinking milk, my skin has got rash on it, right? So I want to tell you this, my friends. My point is this. What is good for you is not always going to taste nice. Do you understand? What the Pharisees were offering, the doctrine of the Pharisees that Jesus likened to leavened bread, was nice tasting, was nice sounding, was palatable, right? Yet it was sending people to destruction. So Jesus was using this as a teaching moment that beware of the leavened bread, the leavened gospel. What are you consuming spiritually? All right? So leavened bread and unleavened bread, both are bread, right? Both may have flour in them, right? But the thing that seems so tiny, just a little bit, just a teaspoon of leaven, you know, yeast can be like, is also leaven, like yeast. A little bit of yeast can cause a whole loaf to puff up. Help me, Holy Spirit, to deliver this. What am I trying to say? Both breads, leavened and unleavened, have flour, right? So false doctrine will have some elements of truth. Dangerous false doctrine is not all pure lies. It has elements of truth. It also has flour. So it can be confusing because you're like, oh, but they're both bread. So it's not all bad, right? So the wrong doctrine can also have flour in it. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? So yeast, just a little teaspoon of yeast. Just a little teaspoon of yeast, right? Causing one loaf to puff up. It's so easy for people to be like, oh, it's only just a little bit. You know, everything else that they say is okay. Or it's only just a little bit, right? It's only just a little bit. And yet that little bit causes people to go to hell. 99% of the truth with 1% of lies is still false doctrine. So it is important for us, if you choose to put record, to recognize the responsibility that you carry. It is important for you to recognize the danger of passing around leavened bread. Do not be like one of the people that Jesus was warning the disciples of, the Pharisees, to say, be careful of them, for they give leavened bread. Anyone is at risk of giving leavened bread, my friends. Very few people start thinking, I want to tell people what they want to hear. I want to be a motivational preacher, right? And take away the truthfulness of the word of God. I just want to preach happy messages. I just want to preach whatever. Very few people start out like that. But when you neglect your secret place and you see your ministry as creating content, once you start to see your numbers fall down, you're going to start to research who's getting numbers. What are they speaking on? I need to speak the same thing. And without realizing, you've entered into leavened bread territory. God has brought all of us to minister, and we have a different assignment. One of the things the Lord has helped me to learn and solidified during these 40 days of praying and fasting is that He has raised my voice to speak a specific kind of message. And that specific kind of message is different to the message He's called another person to speak on. Through the experiences of my life and how God has refined me, He has brought me to speak messages that are based on Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is what God has called me to speak on because of my testimony, because of what He's prepared me through my testimony. From living a life of, you know, acquiring things, to recognizing that all of that was nothing. And I was lacking the most important thing, who is Jesus, a relationship with Him, an intimate relationship with Him, and Him breaking me down and bringing me to that place. Right? The ministry that He then gave me is to speak that. So once I start to speak messages of, oh, but people who are preaching on God is bringing a breakthrough are getting more views, let me do the same thing, I have missed the mark. So I'm here to tell you that even if you invite me to speak, whatever your theme is, the message that I will bring will not deviate from messages that the Lord has given my voice to. The message of holiness, repentance, personal intimacy with God, seeking His face and not His hand. It doesn't mean that other messages are bad, but that is the mandate that the Lord has placed upon my life. And may God help me, and may this video also serve as a reminder for me not to deviate from that. I urge you, minister of God, find what it is that God has anointed you for. What is it that you can say, for God has called me for such a time as this? What is that? Yes, God has called you to minister. Yes, God has given you a prophetic voice. Yes, God has given you whatever. But it's important for you to linger in his presence and say, Lord, shape it. What is this arrow that, you know, you've made me to be? Because ministers have different assignments. What's my assignment, Lord? And you will not know that if you're not in your own secret place. You will run around seeing what is getting views and want to speak on that and miss speaking in line with what God has prepared you for. And like Peter, you will miss the mark that, Jesus has called me to speak on him being the Christ, the deliverer, and start to rebuke him to say, that's not going to happen. Praise be to God that Peter was repentant, and his whole ministry after that is really the ministry that was birthed in this very same chapter of Matthew 16, from verse 16 to 18. Peter became the leader in the Acts, in the book of Acts, a leader who spoke the message of Jesus being the Christ uncompromisingly. Throughout, Peter never changed his message. May God help us. May God help us, my friends. If you are seeing yourself as somebody who creates content, may God help you to see yourself as a minister. And may you be in the secret place and not depart from the secret place, so that you understand truly why heaven has called you. For why, for what you've been called to for such a time as this. Not everybody needs to have the same message. Find your place, but it is found in the secret place. And you may think that this message is just for people who create or share, you know, ministry stuff. No, it is also for you. Even if you say, oh, but I'm not somebody who preaches or who shares or who ministers. Every person has been called to be a minister. You may not necessarily be called into one of the fivefold ministries, but let your life minister God. Let your life minister the true message of Christ. How you speak, how you respond to other people, how you represent Jesus. May it be a representation that is in line with the Lord. So friends, I'm going to end it here. And I pray that this message is a blessing to you. And I pray that this message is thought-provoking for you. That it helps you to also see who do you listen to. And also be careful not to be a passive recipient of information. And to be willing to recognize seasons. In some seasons, God will direct you to listen to people like myself. And you'll notice after a while that maybe God starts to say to you, I've shifted the season. I want you to listen to another minister. Don't be loyal to people. Don't be loyal to a minister. It doesn't mean that my life would have changed or that I'm in sin. But it means that sometimes God is propelling you in different direction. That's why the Lord has anointed ministers with different missions. So that we can feed the body, right? We can feed the body of Christ. So be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and move with the Spirit. If he says to you, you're not listening to anyone, you're just reading the word at my feet, do so. May our lives not be stagnant because we're following people, right? Or if you're someone in ministry, that you're following views. Do your part and let everything else, the engagement or whatever, the Lord will do it himself. Don't depart from your place. Don't depart from your calling. Don't depart from your core message. Don't depart like Peter. Find your place. Peter found himself and continued with his assignment. Don't fall prey to the enemy who wants to use your credibility to contaminate you, to drive you away from your message and miss being impactful for the Lord. No one listening to the sound of my voice who is a minister of the word of God will ever be told these words, you know, get away from me, I never knew you. You know, there are many people, the Bible says it. It's not talking to unbelievers, my friends. The Bible has passages where the Lord says, some of you, They will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal in your name? And I will say, get away from me. I never knew you. May that not be one of us. Stick with your assignment. Stick with the Lord. It will pay off. It doesn't matter what's happening next to you. It doesn't matter who's getting more engagement than you. It doesn't matter. Let your priority be engagement with the Father. Are you engaged with the Father? Are you engaged with Him? Are you engaged? That is the most important engagement, right? How can you speak on behalf of someone you don't speak to? How can you have daily content, right, of someone who you don't daily walk with? How is that, right? May God help us. This is not a critique, but this word is to provoke us. Me too, to serve as a reminder as I've come back into ministering, right? That I don't want to be found as one of those people that give God's people. God loves people too much. I don't want to be found as one of those passing around bread which is leavened, creating people who are puffed up and allowing the enemy to puff me up with pride and say, look at what I'm doing. Look at this amazing revelation. Look at how people are coming. Far be it from me. May the Lord help us. So I'm going to finish it here, and I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, which is sharper than any double-edged sword. Your word, which is active. Your word, which is living. I pray that your word, Father God, which is active and living, brings life where there was death. Your word, which is active and living, separating bone and marrow, will separate us from sin, will separate us from the things that are not of you, Lord. Let your word, Father, change and transform us, so that even as we speak, even as we conduct ourselves in ways that are honorable to you, Father. I humbly submit myself to you. I humbly submit, God, undiluted to you. It is not just in not calling it my ministry, because I don't do that. I call it your ministry. It is not just in that. It is also supposed to be in my heart posture. Lord, I don't want to just say your ministry on words, and yet my actions make it seem like it is mine or the people's. May it be, Lord, that none of us fall for the trap of Saul, where his kingship was taken because his focus became the people, the approval of people. I humble myself before you, Lord. I dedicate this channel. I dedicate this ministry to you, Lord. And I say, it is yours as you have given it. Father, I give it right back to you. And I say, Father, let it achieve what you wanted to achieve. And I pray for every other ministry represented, Lord, people who are listening to the sound of my voice, ministries that already are and those that are yet to be. I ask, Father God, we come together collectively and we repent over moments where we've made it our own, and we give it right back to you. And we say, Father, like Peter, thank you that, Lord, you correct those you love. You rebuked him, and Father, he came back into the fold and became one of the most amazing apostles that there was, building your church on the rock that is Jesus Christ, just like you spoke. So shall it be so in our lives, in the mighty name of Jesus. And if you're listening to the sound of my voice, maybe you just stumbled on this video. It wasn't by chance you got to this point and you have not received Jesus as Lord and personal Savior of your life. Listen, I want to take you through this prayer, because the most important decision you can ever make is to hand over your life to Jesus. Life is in Jesus. There is no other life outside of Jesus. Not just life here on earth, but life post this earth. So the Lord will never force himself on anyone. All right? The Lord has given us free will. But you're listening to the sound of my voice because the Lord is nudging you, and you are finding yourself being drawn to the Lord. So why don't you receive the Lord Jesus as Lord and personal Savior of your life? Trust me, it will be the most important decision that you ever made. So let's pray. You can follow after me. Father God, thank you that you sent your only begotten Son Lord Jesus, to come here on this earth and to be the Christ, the Deliverer, the Redeemer. Having listened to this message, I repent for living my life like I am my own Lord, like I'm my own Redeemer. I hand over my life to Jesus and I say, Jesus, come and be Lord and personal Savior over my life. Come and rule and reign in my life. I make a decision to die to the old and rise up in Christ. I ask for your promise of the Holy Spirit, which you've promised all those who come to believe in you. I ask for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in me from this moment forward. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, be my guide from now and forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you pray this prayer, I would love to connect with you. Do email me. I put my email on the screen. I would love to help you to find a biblical church and be plugged into that, and also just encourage you and celebrate you on your journey. And until next time, friends, have a lovely week. Stay rooted and grounded in Him, and don't neglect the sacred place. Bye.